Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's your girl, Sharifa Hardy. I am here on a Friday morning to talk to you about business, marketing, health, wealth, so many different conversations, but you know what's going to happen right now. I ask you the same thing every day, Monday through Friday, and since it's Friday, I'm going to ask even more for you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your network, someone you know, maybe it's your bestie. Maybe they're starting their entrepreneurial journey. They want to start a business. They're stuck in their job and they don't know how to get out of it. Or maybe they just started that entrepreneurial journey and they don't know what to do next. But I guarantee if you go ahead and share the show with them, the information that we share on today's show might not only help their business, it might change their lives. So go ahead and check and share the show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Miss Jennifer Norman. Jennifer Norman possesses over 20 years of marketing, management, and leadership experience in consumer products, beauty care, and natural products industry. Her work experiences range from major brands such as L'Oreal, Victoria's Secret, and Neutrogena, to premium indie brands such as Stylia Cosmetics, Honesty, Honest Beauty, and Derma E. Ms. Norman is passionate about diversity, appreciation, humanitarianism, and inspiring others to be their most exceptional selves. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's so great to be part of the Roundtable Talk Show this morning.
I'm excited to meet you, to learn all about you, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to share that with you. And welcome to the other guests on the show. I'm so excited to learn about you as well. I actually wanted to tell you a little bit about me. I was an abandoned baby when I was younger. I was born in South Korea, and I was adopted by loving Caucasian parents that lived in New York, who also had three of their own children and then went on to adopt two other children from Vietnam. So we immediately, you know, had this wonderful mixed family. And so diversity and acceptance and inclusivity was part of like my culture growing up. But growing up, I did find it difficult because I wasn't really finding people that, you know, necessarily looked like me other than my adopted siblings. And so, you know, it wasn't hard. It wasn't easy, you know, kind of trying to figure yourself out as you're, you know, kind of coming of age. And so there was like this whole kind of seeking identity and feeling a little bit lost. And I actually turned to magazines and I turned to media for a lot of social cues. And so hence, I essentially started a very long career in the beauty industry, where I thought that, okay, now I can make myself look, you know, amazing, or make myself, you know, more acceptable. And I found a lot of, you know, joy and fulfillment and passion in working for these businesses. But it did all of a sudden leave me thinking, like, there's got to be more than this. And I think that over time and with, you know, kind of maturity, it all of a sudden dawned on me that it's really not all about the superficial. It's really about what is inside each and every one of us. That really is what beauty is about. Fast forward to the time when I moved out to Los Angeles from New York, got married, had my very first child. And it's very interesting as an adopted person that doesn't have anybody in their families that necessarily looks like them or shares the same DNA to finally have a child that you can call your own and all of a sudden see kind of like a reflection of yourself looking back at you. But lo and behold, when he was 2 years old, he all of a sudden started to fall ill. So severely that he actually was in a coma for about 3 months. Afterwards, wow. He was diagnosed with a very severe disorder, which is called a mitochondrial disorder, for which there is no cure. He was not expected to live past three, but what we did as a family was just pray and then decide that, you know, we are going to hold on for hope. We are not going to necessarily listen to what science is telling us that is, you know, is going to happen to this child, and we are going to seek solutions. And so one thing that I learned through that is that no matter how dark your days get, if you push through, if you remain positive, if you continue to seek help, seek solutions, the universe will give it back to you. My son just celebrated his 15th birthday. And so
congratulations.
He's a testament to the power of love and to the power of strength and to the power of, you know, wanting to be in this life, of wanting to survive and having a story to tell, having something that is really beautiful, that, you know, is really something that I felt the urge to share. And so one of the things that we decided to do, because we noticed how difficult it is for parents of disabled kids, or, you know, anybody that's of a physical or neuro disability, it's an awkward conversation. And Shakira will probably talk a little bit more about this, but it's not easy when you have a disabled child and other children see that child to be able to really have a you know, a normal conversation, because a lot of people feel awkward. They don't want to be rude. They don't want to ask questions. My son is in a wheelchair. He has a tracheostomy. He lives and he's on a ventilator. And so he is still in, you know, a very serious condition. But even so, we wanted to be able to normalize the conversation about different kinds of abilities and just spread awareness. So we started to develop this book series called The Adventures of Super Captain Brave Man. We've got a number of different children's books. This is the first one that we launched, called A Day at the Park. And so it really helps kids to kind of understand inclusivity, friendship, and kindness among those that have different abilities. We have books. This one is focused on autism, for example. And this latest book that we just launched recently focuses on Down syndrome. And so we take topics of conversation that are and you know, specific and different kinds of conditions, and we make them fun and entertaining and interesting and really bonding moments. These are great to read at bedtime to your kids, you know, or even in school. A lot of teachers use these books to help, you know, to provide, you know, just that storytelling way of being able to educate about these things, because more and more it becomes so much more important for us to really be inclusive and to understand that, you know, beyond the color of our skin or our races or our backgrounds, abilities, you know, people of different abilities matter. And you know, it's nothing to be afraid of. But once people have that understanding, then it's a positive thing. And then lastly, because I am in the beauty industry, I did also want to mention that my main business is Humanist Beauty, which is a line of vegan, 100% natural skincare products. For those of you who like CBD, it's full spectrum whole hemp CBD. And something that I came across was CBD as far as helping with seizures, because my son suffered from seizures. But then I also learned about all of the abundance of different kinds of wellness benefits that it can provide to the skin. I know I'm probably over time, so I'll stop there.
just slightly. But hey, we have four people today. That gives us a little wiggle room. And some people may not want all their 5 minutes. So, you know, we balance it out. But thank you for being so authentic. Thank you for sharing, Jennifer. I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Shakira Rouse. Shakira is an educator, advocate, and entrepreneur. After experiencing her own personal challenges in school with her learning disability, she decided to change the education experience for other students and created Special Compass. Shakira believes that everyone has the ability to learn, and it's important to create more inclusive learning spaces that allow all students to reach their full potential. Good morning, Shakira. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing so great. Thank you so much for having me today.
You are so welcome. I love the picture behind you. I'm almost like, okay, is that the inspiration for this look today? It's beautiful.
Thank you. A little bit. Yeah, it does inspire me to, you know, come up and show up as my best self in everything I do in life. So, and I just find it such a nice background and something to look at. So, yeah.
No, Shakira, what I love to hear is two things, and I usually don't do this as early, but I'm going to do it right now. Number one, I do want to hear about you who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about. But then after that, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what Jennifer had to say. I usually wait, but I'm curious today.
Okay, no worries. So the first question, who am I? So my story starts back going backwards in my life and then kind of putting the pieces together as I move forward. So when I was in grade 2, which was like the early 90s, I was diagnosed with having a learning disability. And at such a young age, you have very little understanding of what that word meant or what it means and how it relates to myself. I remember a time when my mother had to tell me, because I used to be in French immersion, and when I was going to start school in September, I was going to go into grade 4. I wasn't going to go back to French immersion. I was going to go back into the English core classes. And I remember my mom was trying to tell me why I was going back into English. I was going to be different from my friends. And it was essentially, she was trying to explain my learning disability. But at that time, I was just more focused on why do I have to be different? Why can't I go back with my friends? And it just kind of, it broke my heart. And I remember crying at that moment. You know, my mom, as best as she could, to try to tell a young child, like, hey, you have a learning disability and it's, you know, impacting your education and we have to do something about it. So fast forward, I started, you know, grade 4, made new friends, still best friends with many of them today. I went on through school, did really well in certain subjects. Ironically, French was my strongest subject. I loved it and I excelled at it. It was the one subject that made me feel so confident and I didn't, you know, doubt myself. English and math were not my strongest fortes, but I loved the languages so much. In high school, I picked up Spanish, and when it came time to decide where I was going to go to study and what I was going to study at university, I decided I want to continue on with the languages. So I said, I'm going to do a double major in French and Spanish. And I've always been this kind of like ambitious go-getter person, like, yeah, I'm going to do this. We're going to go ahead and go for it. So I knew where I wanted to go when I was like, you know, 2 years before graduating high school. I graduated with extra credits. And when I got into my university of choice, obviously I'm excited. I'm thrilled. This is a time for me to really start studying something that I love, that just brings my heart joy. So I'm in my first year of university. Things didn't go too well. I just kind of figured it's a learning curve. Second year still wasn't going as well as I thought it would, should be. I kind of felt like I was working really hard and I wasn't seeing the efforts from the results from my hard work and effort. So it was like if class started at noon, I was on campus 3 hours ahead of time in the library, meeting professors, doing what I had to do. And I worked myself so hard that I put myself into like a mental exhaustion when I kind of hit this brick wall. And it came to a point where I contemplated, should I stay in school or should I just push through it? And at that moment, two things came to my mind. I said, one, I didn't know even how to, you know, bring up the subject of mom, hey, I'm thinking about leaving school. Like that was no. Two, something told me like God would never bring me this far if I wasn't supposed to be here.
I say that all the time. I love that. I mean, you do, but people don't understand how much that matters. I talk about my journey and how I lost everything and I was so frustrated, but I would walk and pace and just like, and I would literally say, God, I know you didn't bring me this far just to bring me this far. And I use that so often. Shakir, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to get your thoughts on what Jennifer had to say, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest so we can start the conversation. Miss Elizabeth Becker. Elizabeth picked up a knack for sales and marketing at an early age while growing up in an entrepreneurial family. With a thirst for accomplishment, she created and pitched several businesses while working in broadcast television and enjoyed a rich career writing and directing in film and television. Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm good, thank you. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. when we talk about film and television, to me, that's a passion. I just launched my own TV network, It TV, the new logo today, up for the first time. But the reason I love film and television is because it's stories. You get, like today, we're hearing everyone's story. Jennifer has a story. Shakira has a story. We found out about your story. That's why I'm so passionate about film and television. But tell us about yourself. What are you passionate about?
I am passionate about being the best person that I can be and doing what I feel like I was put here on earth to do. And I feel absolutely blessed that so many elements of my life have lined up for right here and now. And so I'm truly grateful for being able to put all of my focus and attention and passion into the business that I've been working on for about two and a half years now. I've left the film and television industries. I felt that I wasn't able to have the voice that I wanted to. I've always been so ambitious. I grew up in this family. My mother was a fabulous entrepreneur, and I grew up in her company. And she always said to me that this gift for business has run through the family. And she identified me among my sisters and said, I know you have it, Elizabeth. And there's always been so much pressure on me to achieve. You know, she taught me when I was growing up that the best sensation, I don't know if sensation is the right word, the best thing that she ever got out of life is the feeling of accomplishment and taking care of staff and building something that was bigger and greater than her. She gave me that love of accomplishment. And I set off in my life to try to find it on my own rather than just taking over her business. And I didn't find it so easily. It didn't come that easily. I went into film and television to become a writer and a director, to have a voice, to create a vision and to touch people. When you see a movie, you're touched by the story, you're touched by the characters, you're touched by the music. Like, there's so many things that it communicates in a way that's so much stronger than what I can just say by explaining it. So I was always really driven by connecting with people and having a voice. And I was not satisfied with my results. The film industry changed when the internet came in, and then there's, you know, people watch more Netflix than film. And I ended up writing and directing in kids' TV, which just didn't give me the feeling that I was able to communicate, which is what I wanted to do. I became a single mom, raising a child on my own, and it was so difficult to work 16-hour days in the film and television industries and take care of my daughter at the same time. So I knew I wanted to transition, and I didn't know how to transition out of it. And those were very difficult years. You know, we talk about what God puts us on this planet to do and the challenges that are in front of you. And at that time, I either had to live with feeling like I wasn't successful, feeling like I didn't meet what my potential was, or taking a big jump off into the unknown, which felt like failure, looking for something outside of film and television. And so I was able to, you know, a lot of people said, follow your passion. What are you passionate about? I am passionate about cannabis. It just so happened that cannabis was becoming legal in Canada in 2018. I knew there was great opportunity there. I was always very, very outspoken when it came to the legalization of cannabis, or more comparing cannabis to alcohol, where alcohol is so widely accepted and has been for so long. And there's so many touch points in your life where alcohol is integrated into a normal and safe and responsible and legal life. Whereas cannabis, there's this horrible stigma to it that is incorrect. It was propaganda when it came out. Cannabis helps people in so many positive ways, but there's this horrible, you know, stigma and judgment that comes around it. So I was always very outspoken. Even as a filmmaker, I made films about the differences between them and the adjustment that needs to be made in our minds, in our acceptance. And so I was able to follow this path where I first fell into payment processing. And then I started working for an entrepreneur in insurance. And I was always trying to pull it into cannabis. And in the end, I came up with an idea. It's not a brand new idea. A lot of people have been doing it. It's Airbnb for the cannabis community. It's called HiBnB. And so I just started talking to people about it, and they were so enthusiastic. All the people that I met with, they said, how can I help? How can I help? That's such a great idea. Yes, we need it. And it was having that support and momentum of all the people around me. And then I went and started working on the business modeling and looking at it. Is this feasible? Is it something that I can put together? How much will it cost? Where will I see a break-even point? And I realized that I have a lot of transferable skills as I started to learn about how to build a website that would be comparable to Airbnb and reliable, you know, and how to navigate the legal system so that it is 100% compliant. So I was able to bring all of my skills of creating a script, which is a blueprint, and a schedule for how to get it made, and working with creative people and working with technical people, and having a voice and a message that gets spread out across that technology. And so I've been working like a dog for 2.5 years, but every morning I wake up in the morning and I can't wait until I can get to work. And it's that feeling of knowing that I'm applying myself and knowing that I'm aligned in the universe, because there's so many messages around me that's supporting. There's been so many times in my life where it's just like I'm hitting my head against the brick wall over and over, and suddenly everything has lined up and I know that I'm in the right place at the right time. And it's very exciting. I've got so much adrenaline that I'm feeding on every day. I can hardly sleep, but we've built this website. We went live in Canada in the middle of the pandemic earlier this year. We were still, you know, building out the features in it, and building the US site, which is coming to market in about 8 weeks, will be in the US. We have some strategic partners in place. We've raised some funds. We're looking to raise more capital. It's been a fabulous growing experience. And I'm just very excited to be able to, you know, present this tool to the general public, where people can start making money on their own by offering accommodations that include cannabis or activities that include cannabis. When somebody comes to our website, which is highbnb.ca, there's 3 call to actions. You can play high, which is activities and events and meetup groups with cannabis. You can stay high, which is accommodations that are cannabis friendly, or you can get high, which is advertising for the cannabis industry, which doesn't have a lot of points.
Outreach. A lot of people won't allow you to market because it's cannabis. I can come. Wow. You are changing the industry. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. I can already see the theme of this show. Today we're talking, I think, about overcoming people who had certain odds, but they said, you know what? I'm going to make it happen. Mr. Stanley Browning. Stanley was raised in West Philadelphia. In his speeches, it's clear that Stanley wasn't a fan of school, graduating high school with a 2.9 GPA. But even though Stanley didn't like school, he found a solution to his problem, which was to listen to the 4-minute talks about the real world. Good morning, Stanley. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Hi to everyone else that's here. Like the bio says, wasn't a fan of school, right? So I made the decision while in high school, we're not doing college. Like, let's not even waste time. Let's not even waste time, energy, effort, and money. It's a waste, right? So let's make this decision right now. And I made that decision. But the strategy to listen to the 4 minutes, right? It happened in 12th grade. I was in chemistry class, and my man's would be like, he'll say something, and it'll be a student will raise their hand and ask something about the real world is what would happen. Yep, he'll get into it. I don't care nothing about chemistry class. But the moment he started doing that, let's get the notes out. Let's get the notebook out. Let's get the pen, pencil, whatever it is. Let's start writing. Because in my head, yo, chemistry cannot help me. Listen, now, there's some people who would disagree, but where I'm going, your chemistry is sweet, but it ain't going to be sweet for me. But what you're talking about right now in these 4 minutes, this is going to be the best thing ever. Why? Because not only can I get street smart, but these were some people that was somewhat in business. They knew a little bit about it. Guess what? Now I can get business smart while in school. I'm loving it. Now, school is now a little bit more intriguing. I have a reason to want to show up now, right? So every class, if it wasn't me, it was another student asking, I'm on point, always pulling out the notebook. I don't care what class it is. like I said, graduated 2.9 GPA. I tell my students all the time, no matter what age group, right? I tell them all the time, bro, I ain't coming to you as a perfect person. Nope, I'm not coming to you as a student who had a 4.0. I ain't coming to you as an honor roll student. Matter of fact, only got honor roll in one time of my life, and that was fifth grade. Like, other than that, I was retained for like the first 4 years of school, like for real. So, when I tell them that, they understand this person is here to not talk to me, but they're genuinely trying to help me, right? Like, because listen, the fact of the matter is, at least where I go, a lot of students, that's what I'm hearing, I don't like school. Well, now what's good is I have a strategy, multiple strategies, which helped me from where I was at to get to where I wanted to be, right? Which was, how do I go from not liking school to somewhat liking school, right? And so that was one strategy, and I'll get into more as we go out throughout the show, but there were more, and that's what I basically go around and I talk about my life story, but also the things that got me through school as a young Black male, which in the inner city, which is also already a little bit difficult.
Wow, I love it. When you first started speaking, you were kind of laid back. I was like, wow, you just kind of mellow there. And then you set up, you came with the passion. So my question is, because I can tell from that, the cost of that suit and the cost of that watch, that you are doing pretty well. So what are you doing now, Stanley? You done went from 2.9 to where?
What do you mean? Oh, like speaking wise?
What do you do, Stanley?
Oh, what do I do? Okay. Most people know me as a motivational speaker, but I consider myself a leadership speaker and a communicator.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It's about, because see, anyone can speak. There's a lot of people, listen, I take shots at it all the time, but there's a lot of people on Clubhouse who speak. There's not a lot of people who know what they're actually talking. If you take a person from Clubhouse who just speaks and put them on the stage of 100 people, those 100 people will know you're a fraud.
Interesting.
But you need to know how to communicate. When you learn how to communicate, you know how.
Absolutely. So you got to speak. You got to get it out. We come back to you, Stanley. Shakira, I love to hear your thoughts on the conversation.
I can agree with a lot of things that everyone's saying. To Stanley's point about how, you know, the teacher in chemistry, once they were talking chemistry, was, you know, just not really interested. But as soon as you talk about real life experience, I think that's an important thing. And that's something that I always stress in my presentations, is that a lot of the students are having a hard time understanding how what they're learning in the classroom, how it relates into the real world. And I think I'm a little bit old school. And I remember, you know, when you were young, you would ask your parents, like, why do I need to go to school? And everyone would say, you need to go to school to get an education, to get a good job. And I think we really need to move away from that conversation, especially in 2021. It's not about getting a job. It's about gaining knowledge. And at the end of the line, we need to help these students understand that they are in control of their future, and they have the power and the knowledge to create whatever it is that they want to be in this world. For me, I feel like it's when I'm working with students and like doing my presentations and everything, I'm really focusing on breaking these barriers of helping all students, regardless of their ability, background, or ethnicity, reach their full potential in and outside the classroom. And essentially what students are, we're preparing students for the world. So we need to help them to see what they're learning. Why do I need to know my 1, 2, 3s, ABCs? It goes more than just understanding how to read, write, and do math. You know, we do need to understand different things when it comes to music, arts, and there's different disciplines and sciences. They all come together and serve a good purpose. So everyone just touched on so many great gems this morning.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I absolutely loved hearing about everybody's stories and where everybody is. And I definitely do see a lot of themes around this and around the four of us. I love, Shakir, that you're an educator and that you have that point of view similar to Stanley, where, you know, and I was the same place. You got to get an education, you got to get a degree to get a good job. But now I tell young people, it's not about having to go to college. If you wish to go to college and that's fulfilling for you and you feel that it's going to, you know, stimulate your intellectual curiosity for more, then that will enrich your life. And then that will help you, you know, as an adult to find what you want to do to be fulfilled. You shouldn't really just, you know, try to do it to get a degree so that you look good to get to get a job and be a cog in a wheel. Like, how can we advance and change the, you know, change that mindset to, you know, this is something that is, you know, more fulfilling for you. But if you don't like college, like if you don't like the idea, if you feel like it's trapped or prison or it's not for you, you know, as wonderful as our education system is, yes, it does have its flaws, but, you know, there are so many good things about it too. It might not be for everybody. And that is completely okay. I think that many years ago, it wasn't okay for a child to necessarily say to their parents, I don't want to go to college. And more, it's like you can learn more on YouTube now than you could probably learn in any amount of college. I tell young people that, you know, even though I have, you know, an MBA and I've got an undergrad degree, I may as well rip them up now because they're completely irrelevant. You know, it's like life changes so quickly and I am a constant student of life. Every day I'm learning something new and trying to teach myself something new. It's not like the internet was born and everybody became experts, although a lot of people try to say that they are. It's like everybody's just figuring it out along the way and creating something new and innovating. And Elizabeth, I love what you're doing. Oh my gosh, I want to hear more about what you're doing with HiBnB. It sounds exceptionally creative. It sounds like a really fun venture. I can see why it is so fulfilling for you and why you have so much excitement about it. So, and of course, being a cannabis, I'm not going to say aficionado, but I'll say like somebody that agrees with you from the fact that it was a lot of propaganda that caused people to have a negative feeling about cannabis, and it goes a long way back, you know, past, you know, before Nixon. But it's nice to see that people are kind of like pulling the veil back and recognizing all of its benefits and the good things that can come of it. So curious to hear more.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely agree, Elizabeth. I believe that it's a need for it. And the reason that I see it as a need is not more about whether you smoke or whether you don't, but I feel that if that's your preference and what you want to do, then you should be able to have reasonable accommodations. You should be able to go into Airbnb and know that it's a place that is comfortable for you to smoke in that place. So I definitely see a lane that hasn't been tapped into, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I agree. The problem with Airbnb is that people who enjoy cannabis, when they go, they take the risk that they're going to get kicked out, or they're going to get a phone call, or the neighbor's going to complain. And there's no security in that, or there's going to be friction because somebody's going to be judging you. So that's what we offer at HiBnB. Above and beyond anything else, you will always be welcome. You will not be judged, and you will be secure in your lodging.
Mm-hmm. So what you should do, like the hotels, they leave the little mint on your pillow. So in the HiBnB, when you come in, you're going to have a little joint on your pillow. I don't know.
That's the idea.
I'm just coming up with marketing ideas. Stanley, as a leadership speaker, you know, we have these ladies here. They basically are kind of doing the same thing in some way, helping people change their lives. What would you say to them? What type of advice, as a leader and a leadership speaker, would you give any or all of them?
Your biggest way to help people is to relate and be transparent. If you don't open up, then why should I open up to you? If I don't know you, then why do you expect me to let you know me? Right? And so, what helps me a lot when I go out and speak is I'm giving you the full nine. Whatever part of my life is significant to that specific topic, you're going to know all about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so then by the time I'm done presenting, You're like, bruh, my man just gave us his whole life story. And so now, one, you're more open to being emotional, right? You want to, because you want to get emotion out of your crowd, right? So whether that's crying, which I've had people do, right? Whether that's laughing, right? Whether that's even a little bit of anxiety, whatever it is, if you can evoke emotion, you can help. Okay. So you want to be transparent, right? But like I said, you also want to be able to relate. So if I'm in a room with students, I'm not going to talk about business all day. It's no point. They're not even there in that point in their life. It's no point. You can't relate. And I'm going to sound like somebody else that just came in here. But where you are at right now is school. And I've been in high school. I've been in elementary school. I've been in middle school, right? And even when it comes to my older audiences, right? I've spoken to college students. I've spoken to corporate America. So even then, I know how to relate to whoever it is that I need to, whoever it is that's in front of me that I need to talk to. Because I know how to use any part of my life, and not even just my life, but if I have to, if I don't use my life, I can use my mom's life, I can use my dad's life, use my grandmom's life, I can even use a song, right? And what's good about me, and this is actually something that I suggest you do, if you're not hip to the game, I think you should get hip to the game, because one thing that has helped me, right, and being as though, yes, I'm 20, but what's helped me is I grew up on older music. So I was already going to have the younger side, but knowing that older music, when I go speak and I have my older crowds, if I take a song lyric from, I don't know, Al Green or something, right? Now they're like, oh, and they catch him off guard. Now, not only are they laughing, but now they know he can relate to me at some level. Not even if it ain't the full level, but if it's some level, cool. Now we can get to evoking that emotion. This kid right here, he can relate. He can, and not only that, but he's being transparent at the same time. Let's go.
I love it. I love it. Jennifer, I love to hear your thoughts. You know, you came out and you were authentic. You were talking about your story, your journey. And like Stanley said, you're talking about your son's journey as well, because that's a part of your journey. But you're authentic. You're transparent. Is that always easy for you?
It is. And I think that now it is. Before it wasn't. Before I felt like I was always trying to be somebody else or trying to impress somebody else. And it was more about trying to front, you know, like you were talking, Stanley, about like people on Clubhouse. It was like, you know, trying to kind of prop yourself up and make yourself seem like an authority or seem like you've got things all together and that your life is perfect. No more. It's exhausting. And I no longer believe in the phrase fake it till you make it. I really think that it's better to be until you become. And so that's kind of one of those new phrases that I've kind of adopted. And so I rather be an open book. I think that I feel so much more aligned within my own soul. And I think that when you're real with yourself, you can have real connections with others. Otherwise, you're not having real connections with others, as Stanley was saying. Like if you didn't really like Al Green, or if you didn't really like old music, and if that wasn't part of you and you put it on there, you wouldn't be having an authentic and real conversation with those that you were engaging with. But the only way to be is to be yourself. And you know, in one of the things in my beauty business that I'm trying to dismantle is this notion that we have to be or act or you know, think that we have to look like somebody else. I really want for people to be able to understand the importance of self-acceptance and self-love, because that's where it starts. If you have more self-love for yourself, then you can better love others. It's the people that don't really love themselves that are insecure, and they're putting out that vibration and that energy of a lack of self-confidence, and it creates a lot of friction in relationships.
Yes, absolutely. Shakira, you're authentic as well. You know, you what came out, you told people about, you had a learning disability. Is that always easy for you?
No, it's not always easy for me. And I think it's something that I'm still continuing to learn to embrace more and more each day. For me, there was parts of my story that I had to get comfortable with myself and like tell myself before I was able to share with other people. But I realized, similar how you mentioned when we first started, that the more I shared my story, the more I realized I wasn't alone. The more I realized that there's other people that have had the same experience, or other students are kind of going through the same things as well too. And I realized that, you know, by me sharing my story, I'm helping somebody. And it kind of made me realize that, like, through all my experience, it didn't make sense for me to go through everything I went through, learn from it, and then just sit down to myself and not help somebody else. Like, it seems to be that this is I'm recognized as a problem. There was a gap, there was a need for support for these students. And why not go and you know, go out and help them? And it's also, with me being open and authentic about myself, it's also going to help them to be authentic and open about their self and their experience as well too. And I think it's like that ripple effect. Now we're breaking down barriers, we're breaking down ceilings where, you know, maybe there are some kids that are afraid to, you know, to understand that they have a learning disability, or they feel a little bit insecure because of other things. But now they're like, hey, it's okay. I could, you know, there's someone else like me out there. It's okay. I shouldn't feel shy or insecure about being different, and realize that there's value and strength in being different. And I think that's one of the things I always lead by, is like, you know, we're unique for a reason. You can't spell unique without you.
I think that is so beautiful. That is so wonderful. Now, Elizabeth, you have a whole different situation, right? Because it's not a disability, but it's often, you know, and I'm in California. We're one of the coolest places ever. But yes, but here's the thing. You meet people sometimes and you can have a wonderful relationship, platonic, you know, friends, business relationships, but someone finds out you like cannabis. All of a sudden, there's this judgment. So it's almost the same thing, because it's something that people judge you for. What did you say, Elizabeth?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm trying to fight. That's what I feel so strongly about in creating High B&B, because it's also, you know, a statement and an action for me is to try to destigmatize cannabis. I don't like to judge people. I try not to judge people. I don't want them to judge me, but often it does happen. There were people go to stereotypes. Oh, they're a cannabis user. They're a pothead. They're, you know, write them off. And then if I were to laugh more, they might think of something else about my personality. Unfortunately, there is judgment in the world. I'm just trying to do my part to help on this particular level, because cannabis has helped me in many ways. It's helped me to be more, honest with myself. It's helped me to see things from a different point of view that I wouldn't normally see. It's helped me to get out of my head. It's helped me to listen to my instincts more. So it's been a very, you know, positive and beneficial effect for me. I want people to be able to use it that way.
Don't mean to cut you off, but that's who I am and what I tend to do. I hear what you're saying when you're saying it helped me. It helped me get out of my head. It helped me. But specifically, how did it help you? Let me just be a little bit more specific. Is it the relaxation? Is it what it does to your mind? Is it the, what is it? And it's not chemicals, but what is it, what aspect of it that you feel has helped you?
Okay. So number one, when I consume cannabis, it does help me relax. Okay. I'm a little bit uptight. I'm nervous. I have anxiety. So when I take cannabis, immediately my shoulders go back and I relax and I think, I feel so much better. And my interactions with other people are that way, because I don't have that edge. But in addition to that, I find that, you know, we all have this subconscious chatter that goes through our brain, right? And you have an idea and then you think, oh, well, maybe that's not a good idea. Or there's this thing, their internal monologue that goes on. And I find when I use cannabis that chatter inside my brain subsides and I'm able to feel more on the gut level. Does this ring true or does this not? And just not be clouded by this inner monologue that's, oh, is that a good idea? Oh, I should be saying this, or all this other noise that's happening. That's personally my experience.
That's all I'm asking for, is your personal experience. So when you came up with the idea for high BNB? Did you have that conversation with yourself? Did you go, you know what? I don't know if this will really work. Am I high? Like, is this really a thing?
It's actually not an idea that I came up with. It's something that's, there are other companies that are doing it. There's a company called Bud and Breakfast. There's a company called Weed Rentals. So as I was around the cannabis industry, I saw that you know, there was a need for this, there was an attempt for this. And I really kind of wrote it off at first. The reason why I continued with it was because I saw it was the reaction from other people, seeing how excited that they got from it. And I thought maybe there's something here. And it's not just the concept, but it's being able to deliver it so that it's reliable and so that it works. Because that's not easy to do, to enter the market competing with these expectations that people have with Airbnb. I mean, they've got how many billions of dollars is Airbnb worth? So their website is, you expect that it has certain features, and people don't want to use one that doesn't have those things. So that was really the biggest hurdle to me, is to be able to come into the market with something that people are going to accept and use so that it actually has a chance to survive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Stanley, you didn't want to go to college. You told yourself college is not for me. What did the people around you say when you gave them your truth?
As in family?
Yes.
I got all the backlash in the world. But I was prepared for it, because at the end of the day, like I said, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste money. I don't want to waste energy. And I also understand that I can't live for them. They live their life. When they die, if I keep living, if I do what they want me to do all the time, then I'll be living for them and not for me. So then what happens when I get to that age? Do I have regrets? Right? Like, I think I'm in a good place because I'm 20. No regrets yet. Thank God, right? No regrets yet. But, and I say I'm in a good place because I know a lot of kids that I speak to, they already have regrets and they're in high school, and there's some middle school kids with regrets. So, I mean, it was tough, but, and I've been told some things, but you know, when I got my first engagement, which was in 11th grade, when I got that engagement, I was like, we off to the races. Like, I feel like, listen, everyone has a journey, right? And what I like to say is this: the journey don't care about where you want to be. The only thing the journey cares about is teaching you the lessons that it has to teach you along the way. And the lesson I had to learn was stand up for yourself. And so I had to stand up for myself in that moment. So now I'm here, and there's still some hurdles that I still got to go through.
We all have hurdles. I mean, hurdles, you will have hurdles until, you know, you take that last breath. We all have hurdles. That's the beauty of life. And that's one of the things that I love, is these challenges. Yeah, I used to run from them. Now I'm like, ooh, what's the next challenge? What's the next thing that comes up? It inspires you, because then other people watch you and other people see you and they go, if Shakira can do it, and if Stanley can do it, and Jennifer can do it, and Elizabeth can do it, and Sharifa can do it, then just maybe I can do it. Shakira, is that one of the reasons why you keep going?
Exactly. I think along the way, along my journey, I learned that, one, I was winning and being more successful when I was just being me. So when it was me, even just the way I would, you know, show up to class, it's like, okay, now I understand my learning disability. Now I'm applying more techniques and strategies that are more organic to the way my mind works, I was more successful. When I was doing things that, you know, I loved and just brought me so much joy, I was winning. When I was listening to my gut, listening to my heart, that's where I found the success. So it kind of, along the way, when I had those challenges, I was like, you know what, I can't stop here, because I don't believe this is it. I'm gonna keep, you know, pushing forward and keep moving forward and trusting myself. I think that was a lesson I had to learn too. There's other people's expectations. You also putting your expectations from other people's perspective of you and how you should be and in the way you want, you should, what you should do. But ultimately I had to realize that this is my life. I've been doing it certain ways and it's not been working, but when I do it my ways, that's how I've been winning. It's been successful. So let's trust my gut, listen to my own voice, and, you know, let everyone else do what they want to do, but I'm going to do me.
Do you also feel that part of the problem is that people learn in different ways and that our school system is built to kind of force everyone to learn in the same way? That was my problem when I was in school, because I always tell people I'm that kind of person. I walk fast, I talk fast, I type fast. I'm at 85 words a minute. So I'm moving a lot faster than most people. And so when I was a student in school, you know, I'm 45. I love it. It's one of the best ages. I just love being myself, you know, feeling myself, as you young people say, Stanley. But when I was in school, if my school would have had some of these disorders and diagnosis that they diagnose people with now, I'd have been diagnosed, because my mom is the one who really helped me and saved me, because she would get my teachers will always call my mom and be like, Sharifa won't sit down. Sharifa won't stop talking. Sharifa keeps bothering the other kids. And my mom would say, well, has she finished her work? And the teachers would say, yes, she finished it. It's all right. She, you know, but we need her to sit down. And my mom would say, we'll give her some more work, you know? And so I didn't want more work. That's how I learned to sit in my seat. That was the it. That was the cure all for walking around harassing people. I didn't want any more work, so I'm just gonna sit here. But because there were so many different students in the class that learned on different levels, I felt like I was being forced to you know, accommodate them. Long-winded question. So I'll allow you to answer, Shakira. Do you think part of the problem is that people are forced to learn in one way?
Yes, I do think that that is one part of the problem. And if you think about it, going like just what we've defined as our educational institutions and what these look like, these were built, you know, on classrooms where once upon a time it was like all the kids in the little area were from, regardless of what age, were coming together maybe for a couple hours a day to learn something, and then they'll go back and help their parents on the farm. Right. So it was kind of like we didn't have these specific classrooms. It was one big classroom. Everyone was learning what the teacher was teaching them one way. So as, you know, society evolves, things expand. Now it's kind of a way, okay, we need to create a system that is a little bit more effective and efficient and is working to everybody, you know, that has a smooth transition and way of life. And that's how we got the education system we have now. But what we forget is that the same way that no one has the same two fingerprints in this world, no one thinks exactly the same way in this world. So we do learn differently. And with the science and the technology that we have now we've been able to really dive deep into the brain in the last couple of years in ways that we've never have been before. Now we're able to really see things and see like different kinds of brain activity and kind of understand why, okay, well, this is why this person has so much energy and they, you know, they it's a little bit more rambunctious and they don't want to sit still. Or this is why this person acts this way and so forth. But a lot of the ways that we're designed, we teach is, you know, I call it counterproductive. It's not holistic to the way we learn. So I kind of compare it to like ergonomics. You know, a couple of years ago, and we realized that the way we sitting at our desks and holding our bodies is taking stress and putting doing bad things to our backs, our joints, our hips, right? So now we've redesigned our desk and our chairs to be more holistic and supportive to where our body is. And I think that's where we need to come in as well too, to be create instruction that is more holistic to the way the brain works and learns.
I love it. We are down to the last few minutes of Friday's show, the last show of this week, TGIF. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who was watching the show live, as well as everyone who was watching it from the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. We only have a few minutes, but we're going to start with you, Elizabeth.
Oh, I just wanted to say something towards the conversation around education. you know, and if it's serving us and do we need it? And I want to say something to Shakira and Stanley, and that's, I did go to university and college. I have an undergraduate degree in film, and then I did my master's degree in directing. And then I, you know, went into that industry, and it didn't necessarily lead me to where I wanted to be. And that was so hard to get over it is, okay, well, how do I start again? It would have been as if I didn't. So what I got out of college didn't take me to where I was going, unless it's just measuring these are life experiences. And there's nothing holding you back other than what's in your mind. If you want something, you just decide it and jump in and learn it. And what I'm doing with my industry is, if I don't know how to do it, I just have to pick it up and start working it. And if I don't know it, I have to learn it or ask people around me. I can't rely on anybody else to do it. So I just jump in and do it. And you can do that with or without school. But I just wanted to point that out, that sometimes you go through school, it doesn't necessarily give you what you need to get to where you're going, but you have to seize that. You have to take what you want. You have to know where you want to go. Then that's the hard part.
That's beautiful. Is that your takeaway, Elizabeth?
That's my contribution right now.
Thank you. Thank you. And your website is?
It's highbnb.ca, and on socials, it's at experiencehighbnb.
Absolutely. Thank you, Elizabeth. Stanley, what should the people take away from your appearance?
Get perspective. perspective. And I say perspective because I love perspective, right? Because I like to say, write it down. Get a piece of paper. If you ever think that your life it sucks, get a piece of paper. Let's write the pros, let's write the cons. If your pros don't outweigh your cons, then you're not thinking hard enough about the good things in your life. Because it's the small good things that are the luxuries of our life. What you think is regular life for you is not regular life for someone else, right? So just waking up in the morning, that's a luxury. The Lord gave you luxury today, okay? So you can write that down as a pro. And I like perspective because I remember, my grandma was like, 76, 77 years old. She was riding a bike. She fell off the bike. She got back on the bike and kept riding. And I remember another example was when she was in the hospital. We was on the phone. She said, "I'm not in the hospital. I'm on vacation." The perspective of the current situation, it just changed. And so, I promise you, like from that, I hung up the phone. I was like, ooh, that's a gem right there. Like the power of perspective is so crazy. And the way that it can work for students is, when I was in school, my perspective had to change from this is school to this is a business meeting. And so I wasn't looking at my teacher as just a teacher. No. You're someone that's in a business room with me, and we're trying to close a deal. But the only way to close this deal is to solve this equation. And so when your perspective changes, then you can, and you get another outlook on life, I promise you that you'll learn, one, to be more grateful, but two, you'll learn another important thing, which is you'll learn how to adapt to situations that come to you, right? And you'll be a better overcome, because without trials, there's no triumph. And without triumph, you can't even scream victory.
Absolutely. You can't have a testimony without a test. Thank you, Stanley. Shakira, what do you have for us?
I basically just want everyone to understand that everyone has the ability to learn. We just learn differently and in different ways. And that not to be feel limited by your abilities, that we all possess different strengths and unique qualities, all of which are very valuable and all of which are really needed in this world. So don't be afraid to be you, let your voice be heard and shine, because we need what's inside of you. And if you ever want to, learn more about me, feel free to connect with me at www.specialcompass.ca or at Special Compass Canada on Instagram or social.
I love it. Thank you. Jennifer, what do you think of today's show?
Just be you and let others be them and teach your kids kindness and inclusivity. You can visit supercaptainbraveman.com and check out our children's books. There's also great merch there if you want to wear a wonderful Super Captain Brave Man t-shirt. And then because we are all humans and we all matter and we all have stress in our lives and we all deserve to glow, I would love for you all to visit humanistbeauty.com and get yourself a beautiful sample of our Urban Wisdom facial oil. There is a promo code for 20% off by using Roundtable Talk Show. Again, humanistbeauty.com, and it has 500 milligrams of full spectrum whole hemp CBD. I personally am sativa dominant and a prior super host of Airbnb, so I'm so excited to be able to kind of like round things off for all the guests here.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. A great show. I love the commonalities between everybody, but everybody is unstoppable. And everyone say, you know what? I'm going out there and I'm making it happen. And just because this happened or that happened doesn't mean that I'm going to stop. So I applaud all of you. I thank you for being today's guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. We still need your support. We still need you to go ahead and share the show, whether you're watching it 2 weeks from now, 8 months from now, or 15 years from now. Share this show, because the information we shared this morning, someone in your network needs to hear. But as always, please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. Our guests are here this morning to support you, to be authentic, and to share their journeys with you. So please support them. Pick up a copy of some of those books, get you some CBD, go on a trip at High B&B and listen to the man Stanley speak. Those are the things you can do to support our guests. Their website links are in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.